At the moment, he has not had a great deal to say, but like Tutu, has expressed regret.
Dennis Brutus, we're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you for being with us, South African poet and activist. And that does it for today's broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkshire, Fudoka Dusar, Mate, Angelique Comets, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen. I will be in Baltimore this weekend, 3:30 on Friday at Johns Hopkins, at night in Morgan State, and on Saturday at the Book Festival. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, this is Eve with the Concert Billboard for Tuesday, September 23rd. The Ataris at the Crazy Donkey in Farmingdale at 6 p.m. Jim Moran jams again at DJ Riders in Oceanside at around 10. And in New York City, the Radiators at Sullivan Hall. The Blind Boys of Alabama and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band are at B.B. King's. And looking ahead to Wednesday, September 24th, Donnie Salenza at Reflections in Rockville Center at 10. The Smoke Daddies jam at Jesse's Roadhouse in Merrick. The Sam Taylor Band at Barbecue in Patchogue. Blue Matter jams at the Brightwaters Inn at 10. Tommy Campo at Flynn's in Fire Island. And in New York City, One for the Team at the Cake Shop. At Sullivan Hall, it's Freedom Head, Stop Irrational Logic, Humankind, The 25th Century, and Tycoon Dog. And here's today's quote of the day. A hard thing about a business is minding your own. If you want to see more shows, go to WUSB.FM and click on the Concert Billboard. If you want to tell us about some shows, email us at scene, that's S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. And thank you for listening to the Concert Billboard and to WUSB in Stony Brook.
Where the time is 6:02 on a Tuesday evening, time once again for Off the Wall. very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And I'm only hearing myself in one ear. It's kind of night it's going to be, I guess. You see, we're supposed to wear headphones and hear our voices so we know if we are actually going out over the radio. And unfortunately, half of my voice is gone, so, well, I guess that's makes it twice as tolerable. We have all sorts of things to talk about tonight. In fact, I'd like to take phone calls for as much of the show as possible, only because, well, it's that time where you just feel the need to converse because things are just getting so depressing. And they really are. If you look around, I mean, a couple of weeks ago when we had the angry mob in here, and they're not here this week, they're down at Wall Street this week, but they were upset that the polls, at the poll numbers showing McCain actually leading in the popular vote a couple of weeks ago, I guess as a result of all the pomp and circumstance of the Republican convention. And I was able to quiet them down by reading the Electoral College numbers, the only numbers that wind up mattering in our crazy system. At the time, it was Obama leading 327 to 206. And now, looking at the exact same website I got that number from, this week, it's Obama 269, McCain 254. And I'm just like, come on already, people. What in God's name is wrong with us that this is even a close call, let alone something that could conceivably be lost? I mean, good Lord, what do you need? What exactly, other than God himself buying time on television and having one of those infomercials and saying, people, if you elect another Republican into office, you might as well kiss the country goodbye, because if it's not Wall Street that'll collapse and bring you with it, it'll be another war or some other act of utter stupidity by people who just don't care. And if you willingly go into that, again, you have to wonder, what kind of Darwinism is at work here? What is it that you need to see spelled out in front of you to indicate that we're not on a good path right now? You know, I mean, Mother Nature has tried to help by throwing some hurricanes our way and showing that the current system can't handle those. There's only so much that nature can do. We have to make some decisions ourselves. And I just, for the life of me, it's like some kind of weird fantasy where it doesn't make any sense, yet it happens anyway. And I think a lot of other people are feeling the same way, because I sense this this kind of resignation in the air. Just like, yeah, you know what, it's just going to happen. Might as well let it happen. I don't even care anymore. And that is exactly what they feed upon. If nothing else, I think it's that attitude that will lead to another 4 years of these crazy people in power. If you really think that it doesn't matter, that nothing's going to make any difference, and you don't head down to the polls in November and try and make a change of some sort, however small, however slight, then yeah, the status quo will remain, and God knows what will happen as a result. So, yeah, those numbers, I mean, I don't know how accurate they really are. I'm looking at one website. I'm looking at usaelectionpolls.com. And what they do is they basically post the results of statewide polls and then add up the numbers. And, okay, I wrote down some of the swing states from last time. Last time we had Florida with Barack Obama leading by 1-45 to 44, this is percentages. And as I look at it today, I can't find, oh, that's Florida. He's now behind 46 to 51. So folks, if you know anybody in Florida, time to make some phone calls. Time to wake their asses up. Ohio. Barack Obama was ahead 44 to 43 a couple of weeks ago. Now he's behind 46 to 50. Incredible, isn't it? Virginia, he was ahead 47 to 45. Now it's 48 to 50. So I really want to hear from these people out there that are deciding, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go for McCain. I'm going to go for the guy who basically will rubber stamp anything George W. Bush says. And never mind what he's saying now about the whole Wall Street bailout. Yeah, he's starting to to show a little bit of rebelliousness, starting to say, well, you know what? I don't think this is such a good idea. Do you really not see through that nonsense? He's doing that for the votes. He's doing that for the naive people out there that actually believe that he has a mind of his own and will go against the tide. People will say, oh, yeah, this is exactly what we need, a free spirit. Well, look at his voting record. Look at what he's done over the past few years. And tell me how much of a free spirit he actually is. So bringing him in and bringing in somebody who is completely inexperienced, today, in fact, today Sarah Palin was supposed to meet with foreign leaders for the first time. I don't know if she's ever even met a foreigner before. And it's incredible to me how people are like, oh, you should lay off her, you know, it's not nice. What do you mean it's not nice? This is the person who could potentially decide the fate of the world, who could have her finger on the nuclear button, and she's never actually gone anywhere or talked to anybody or really can grasp what's going on in the rest of the world. This is who we want at the helm? This is really the person that we want making decisions? I mean, seriously. Think of your sixth grade teacher, all right, whoever that might be. And answer me truthfully, would not that person be just as good as Sarah Palin in that position? Because think of it, the sixth grade teacher has to corral all these kids and get them into some kind of order, has to maintain discipline, has to teach people things. I have a lot of respect for my sixth grade. Actually, I don't. He was a real jerk. But the point is, most times in school, teachers are people that do an amazing job. They do incredible things. They turn complete losers into people with a future. So pick your favorite teacher or even your second favorite teacher and tell me honestly, do you think that person's just as qualified as Sarah Palin? And all right, you know, if that's the case, then we should all be running for positions. There shouldn't be any kind of intense questioning whatsoever. Get rid of the debates. Get rid of press conferences. Well, she already has gotten rid of press conferences. She hasn't had a single press conference in a month. Doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't that tell you she's not ready? If you're ready, you answer questions. You talk to people. You dive right in. And if you're not ready, you avoid all of that. So, I mean, that's half of the equation right there. Of course, John McCain being the bigger half of the equation. But, boy, it's incredible to me the reasons people come up with for justifying this. I guess fear is the biggest justification, and I suppose that's what's driven a lot of our policies lately. But race is obviously one of the key factors, and it makes me so ashamed to realize that is the case here. That is what's going on. There's a new survey surveyed racial attitudes and suggested that racial prejudices could tip the balance in the upcoming election. If there were no racial prejudice among voters, Barack Obama would receive about 6 percentage points more support. That's according to an AP Yahoo News poll. God, you know how people would have laughed 20 years ago if you said AP Yahoo News poll? And now it's the way we talk. Now we don't think twice about it. You know, that's how everything works. That's how our country has gotten into the shape that it's in right now. We don't think twice about there being two wars going on, all our friends and kids being killed for no reason. We don't think twice about the economic downturn, people losing their homes, things spiraling out of control. We don't think about that. It's a fact of life now. What's on TV? That's all we care about. But if it just happened overnight, if overnight you suddenly realized, oh my God, all this is going on and we're losing so much in the process, and there's this organization called AP News Yahoo, we'd realize how absurd and ridiculous and unacceptable it was. And we'd do something about it. But we've sort of been lulled into complacency, and we're willing to accept it because what can we do? Well, folks, this is the one time we actually can do something, especially if you know people in the so-called swing states that will tip the balance in this election coming up. And I know of so many people. This is what a lot of people have said to me over the past couple of weeks. If McCain wins, I don't see how I can stay in this country. And, you know, it seems extreme, but I can sort of understand the frustration. It's just your voice means nothing. nothing is ever going to change. You're going to continue to be completely at odds with the rest of the world, living in a fantasy world, pretty much, and just feeling completely frustrated. But let's get back to the reasons why Obama faces such a challenge. Yeah, he would receive about 6 percentage points more support, according to that AP Yahoo News poll. The results suggest that 40% of white Americans hold at least a partly negative view towards blacks, including more than a third of white Democrats and independents. Can imagine what Republicans feel, but that's among white Democrats and independents. A small percentage of voters, 2.5% of those surveyed, said they may turn away from Obama because of his race. Now, CNN, an opinion research corporation, did a survey. They indicate that race could play a big role in November. Asked if race would be a factor in their vote, 37% of respondents said yes. But of that group, many are Republicans who are not likely to vote for any Democrat. And some are Democrats who might vote for Obama because he's black, because he's half black, actually. Of the 8% of Democrats who told CNN they planned to vote for Obama's GOP rival, Senator John McCain, half said race was a factor. I mean, that's just incredible. Half of the Democrats who are going to vote for McCain, that's weird enough in itself, but half of them are voting purely because of race. It's amazing the fear that we live under. Now, of course, it goes the other way, too, because there are people who are, as we mentioned, voting for Obama because he's because of his race, because he's not 100% white. And that doesn't make it any more right. But a lot of people also make the mistake of saying, well, every black person is going to vote for Barack Obama. And that simply is not true. And the fact remains that the vast majority of black people vote Democrat anyway. So to say that they're all voting for Obama because of his color is completely inaccurate. Now, also, you have to take into account that when people answer these surveys, they're not necessarily going to admit that they're racially prejudiced. A lot of them aren't going to admit that's the reason they're shying away from Barack Obama. I know educated people who are really wary of voting for him. And it just makes me realize how little progress we've made, where that's actually an issue. That's something that will turn somebody away. And they literally think it's going to turn into some kind of, I don't know, what are we going to, everyone's going to start speaking rap or something, or all the money is going to go to welfare recipients. What is your fear exactly of having a black man in power? I want to ask these people, what is it that they think is going to happen? White people will be made illegal. Simply unbelievable, incredible. So, yeah, that's what we're facing. We're facing the fact that race is going to play a part. And all sorts of other things as well. Let's take a look at some of the things that have been happening with these candidates. For instance, we mentioned that Sarah Palin is meeting with world leaders. In the span of just 30 hours, she's supposed to meet with 9 major international leaders here in New York. There's that big UN thing going on. Ahmadinejad probably won't be one of them. He's in New York, too. I'm surprised they let him in. Palin's schedule today includes talks with Afghanistan President Hamid Karzai. I understand that meeting already took place, but the press was not allowed to find out what was going on. Or something like that. Iraqi President Halai Talabani and Colombian President Alvaro Uribe. Well, I bet she can't pronounce names any better than me. The Alaska governor will also meet with former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, as well as the head of U2. Oh, come on. It's true. Now, Sarah Palin has just over a week to prepare for the debate. Yes, she's having a debate with Joe Biden. Now, obviously, Joe Biden is much more qualified, but he has a tendency of saying stupid things, like this whole thing about well, rich people should be patriotic and pay more taxes, which, you know, does make sense when you think about it. But obviously, when you're running for president and vice president, it's not the kind of thing you say to get votes. He has a tendency of shooting off his mouth without thinking, and, you know, I'm a little worried about that. A little worried about that. In fact, I'm sort of half hoping that that Barack Obama says, okay, I gotcha, Joe Biden really isn't the candidate, it's really Tina Fey, and brings her out, and all of a sudden America just swoons, and because she looks just like Sarah Palin, and because she's on TV, they'll go for that. This is how we have to think. So, yeah, she's meeting with foreign leaders. I'd love to know what actually happens at these meetings, what kinds of gems she spouts. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how much, how many cliff notes she's reading and how many people are briefing her, she does not have the experience to be a world leader. Maybe someday she will. But that day is not today, and it won't be next January. And God help us if she's the one being sworn in at that point. Now, McCain, on the other hand, he's, as I mentioned, he's starting to change his tone a little bit, moving away from the whole deregulation thing, saying things like, we need to put our country first and focus on what's best for Main Street. It's the excess and greed of Washington and Wall Street that got us in this situation to start with. Now, here's the thing. This is a story that came out earlier today. You've heard about this whole Bush thing where they want to bail out these banks, these companies on Wall Street, $700 billion. They just want to take $700 billion. And that money comes from the taxpayers. That's where it comes from. And we, in effect, have to bail out these financial giants who made very bad decisions. But we're told if we don't do that, it'll get far worse. Now, McCain's doing a smart thing. He's questioning the wisdom of this. And Barack Obama obviously is also questioning the wisdom of this, but he should be questioning it more. He should be more aggressive, and he should be pointing to McCain as part of the problem. Now, get this gem of a line in this story that came out earlier today. Senate Democrats are worried that other Senate Republicans would vote against the bailout if McCain decided to oppose the measure. If Republicans do not back the bailout, it would force more Democrats to vote for it. Now, does that make any sense at all? This is how they think. Because McCain is going to speak out against it, and Republicans are going to speak out against it, well, the Democrats then have to support it, even though it's wildly unpopular and would be about the worst thing they could possibly do. There's such a thing as agreeing that something is a bad idea. Too bad it didn't happen during the Iraq War, but this is an indication of maybe Republicans and Democrats can both agree that this is not a good idea. Doesn't mean that because the Republicans say one thing, the Democrats have to say the other. Because if they do, they're going to be on the side that's most unpopular, and they'll pay the price for that. Let's look at some letters that were printed in the New York Times about this. The bailout plan for American financial institutions appears to put most or all of the risk on taxpayers and minimal risk on the institutions that made incredibly large numbers of incredibly poor financial decisions. If this plan is put into effect, we will witness the final and most devastating act of the largest transfer of wealth from the middle class to the truly rich in this nation's history. I miss the good old days when hard work was rewarded and incompetence was punished. These days we have it backward. That was from Mitchell Turker of Portland, Oregon. And Roy Weber of Ridgewood, New Jersey writes, so an administration that is unsuccessful at war, disaster relief, and so on, now wants to be given a free hand in spending $700 billion on assets for which there is no agreed value or way to value. To get this, it uses its favorite weapon, scaring people about what would happen if this plan is not followed. I cannot help but think that this is more a bailout for its friends in the financial industry than something needed to help ordinary Americans. I would feel more comfortable that this was not some gift to financial institutions if those institutions that took part in the bailout had to revoke top management's stock incentives, given during the last 5 years. If they were forbidden to award such incentives over the next 5 years, if they had to cap salaries at $250,000, can you imagine that? $250,000 isn't enough for them. They have to have more than that. And if they had to pay into a fund that would help repay at least a portion of these costs. Otherwise, I can see the day when these firms again operate based on greed and their manager's profit while taxpayers foot the bill for their ineptitude. That is the general feeling out there. Why are we paying for this? Why are we the ones suffering? And what happens to the people that are losing their homes? People who can't meet the terms of their mortgage rates, which suddenly change. People have no place to live. Is there a bailout for them? Of course not. Of course not. They're not powerful enough. These are the people that should be helped. These are the people that whoever is sincere should be standing behind. And I think most people get that. I think most people understand that this is all nonsense. All these shenanigans on Wall Street. All right. Here's some cool bumper stickers that are making the rounds. Or actually, they're just making the rounds on the internet. I don't know if anybody has actually made these bumper stickers yet. McCain-Palin. Hey, our ticket is historic, too. McCain-Palin, cut government spending. You can pay women less. McCain-Palin, plain old crazy, or so crazy, it just might work. McCain-Palin, if you think this is a surprise, wait till you see what I've got in store for Iran. McCain-Palin, vote for a woman, but not women's rights. Yeah, you get the idea. But yeah, the debates. The first debate is coming up this Friday. Now, I've been asking people, are you going to watch the debates? A lot of people say no, they don't care. They don't care. They're just resigned to defeat and misery. And I say you better care because this could be your last shot. This could be your last chance to actually make some kind of a difference. And yeah, you know, we all say, okay, we live in New York. It's going to go to Barack Obama anyway. There's nothing we can do. It's not going to make any difference. Well, that's nonsense because you can talk to people. You can communicate. You can write letters. You can wake people up. And you can set the tone. How do you think catchphrases get started? Somebody starts them. Somebody says something. It spreads around. People start talking the same way. And before you know it, it's a nationwide phenomenon. Somebody posts a video on YouTube or makes up a website of some sort. It catches on. Changes history. There's all sorts of digging to be done. We can't rely on the mass media to find out everything for us. There are scandals. There are scandals out there that deserve to be uncovered. Wake people up. Show them what they're about to get into. I like to think maybe I'm being a little too pessimistic because most polls still show Barack Obama ahead. But, you know, it's I've seen polls like that get disintegrated on Election Day, and I've seen people react with panic to anything that might be a little bit too different for them. And if we can elect George W. Bush in 2004 after the Iraq War disaster started, then anything is possible. All right. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move into delay, and that way we'll be ready to take phone calls. Who should we have help us get into delay? So many people to pick. Okay, let's use this one. And hopefully in a moment, I'll be back and I'll be safely 7 seconds in the past.
WUSB 90.1 FM. I'm here for you, tell them can't cool.
And here I am, coming to you from the past and hopefully being transmitted in the future with a pair of defective headphones that don't seem to work. All right, but doesn't matter. I don't need to hear myself anyway. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. I'd like to hear your thoughts on polls, debates, things like that. The first debate's coming up on Friday. It's supposedly going to focus on foreign affairs and things like that. So that should be interesting to see McCain and Obama go at it. I just hope that Barack Obama is aggressive. It doesn't take any nonsense, you know. And I can hardly wait for the vice presidential debate the week after, because that's going to be a ton of fun, especially if certain facts are revealed. And hopefully Joe Biden won't say anything too stupid. All right, let's take some phone calls. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing there?
How you doing?
Comments on the whole teen candidacy.
All right, tell us where you're calling from first.
I'm calling from North Amityville, New York.
Oh, it sounds like you're calling from a very far away place. Are you on a car phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yep.
All right. Well, be careful driving. So what's on your mind?
No, I was just wondering, like, you know, the public is so easily misled. We have this huge, huge crisis that we're looking at right now in terms of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
We're being told if we don't act and act right now, that we just got to do this thing right now, or the Democrats are going to be blamed for presiding over one of the biggest crashes in history. Meanwhile, the president that we elect is going to be so important, this whole thing. And what you see is that we have one of the original Keating Five up there. The public has a real short memory,
mm-hmm.
And the whole nonsense of using taxpayer money to go and pay these $120 million bailout salaries to these heads of corporations,
mm-hmm.
they drive things into the ground, and then we have to pay these guys $120 million bonuses. We should have a big say in what portion of this debt and mess we actually underwrite and finance, and there should be a lot of debate and talk about it, and people just don't seem to understand how important the next president is. After the swift voting that happened last time and the nonsense I see now, there's a lot of chit-chat on the street with people saying Obama's going to raise taxes. And I say, just reality check that. Think about what you're saying. What's the biggest drain on our tax money right now? It's the war. Well, one guy wants to fight it indefinitely. It's 100 years if necessary, but
mm-hmm.
yet he's not going to raise your taxes. How's he going to pay for this? Is he going to borrow the money from China? What is he doing? And it's just nobody reality checks what they hear on the radio.
No, absolutely. And that whole tax thing, I've seen that said so many times. When you actually look at the facts, it's just not true. If you look at where the debt of the country is going to be after 4 years, if you look at what McCain has proposed, it is so much more in debt than it is now. With Barack Obama, obviously, it's still going to be in debt because it's going to take a very long time to recover from this, but not nearly as much. You just have to look at the facts, just a little bit of digging, and you'll see that there a lot of what's being said simply is not true.
You're right. And there's one other really quick point I want to make. You said before you hope you aren't being too pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. With Barack Obama's ideas, his leadership, the way he ran his campaign is an example of his ability to organize and all. If he was not a black man, he would be 30 points ahead in the polls, and he'd be being hailed as the next John F. Kennedy.
Absolutely. I agree with that, yeah.
My biggest problem is that I'm afraid of the knucklehead vote, and that's people who will turn around and tell a pollster, yeah, I'll vote for somebody, because they're not under pressure and they're thinking right. And then on election day, walk in there and say, no, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The knucklehead vote does have me a little bit nervous. So you're right to be a little pessimistic.
You know, if there's any good that comes out of all this, I just hope it wakes people up and makes them organize and makes them go out there and get as many people mobilized as possible to really have a strong showing, and especially in the swing states, to make sure that that we don't make the same mistake again.
But they can't get too confident on these short margins. They need big margins.
They
need 15% ahead in the polls and just keep fighting.
They do. And, you know, the other thing I always run into are people that say, you know, you're being naive. It's not going to make that much of a difference. But the point is, even if it's a little bit of a difference, that's enough. That's a start. And if we wind up with the same old thing, that's probably the worst thing that can happen to us. So even a small step in a direction is really a big step, because it will get people thinking, get people realizing that, yes, they can do something, and it'll be the first of many steps, I would hope.
It's true, and people don't think critically. Like, I hear people at work repeating this garbage that they hear on Fox News. That,
uh-huh.
Oh, Obama still denies that the surge worked. He won't admit that the surge worked.
Right.
But can you shut up and just listen to what you're saying here?
Right.
Definition, the surge is not a long-term solution. A surge, by definition, is a short-term spike. And what is a surge? The surge is when you go back and start looking at troop numbers that come close to what the generals originally told you needed when they said they needed 450,000 troops in there to maintain control, and Rumsfeld cut him down to 100,000 and then agreed to 135. Benson then got the tiger by the tail and then didn't know what to do with it once he had control of the country. We have politicians running this war. Rumsfeld stepped aside and just, you know, walked off in the distance, and Bush called him the greatest Secretary of State that ever provided. What the hell was that? And people repeat this stuff.
And are we forgetting that John McCain referred to George W. Bush as one of the greatest presidents? That was that quote I referred to months ago that was said in Texas that somehow got wiped off the landscape. But he did say it. He said that Texas is home to some of the best presidents ever, and two of them are named Bush.
Oh, no.
And just saying that right there, you know, he should have been eliminated on the spot. Not killed, no. I mean, just eliminated from contention for saying something so stupid, because obviously we do not have a great or even a good president right now. I think everybody can agree to that. But the fact is that he praises this guy. He stands with him so many times, not so much of late because he knows that's political suicide. But look at the record and you'll see.
It's absolutely true. I could go on and on. But one of the other things that really aggravates me is that people tend to turn around and talk about They tend to talk about the wedge issues, and you know that they're going to be ripping that out 2 weeks before the election. Look, all I can say is this: if you vote for Obama, you're going to have, you know, gays swinging from the chandeliers, and you're going to be stepping over dead fetuses in the street. And they're going to push.
Oh, so that's what they're afraid of. Okay, at least now I know.
But that's what they're going to do. They're going to push the wedge issues real hard. And they're not going to talk about the things that they should. And these are supposedly Christian, you know, moralists. They're not going to simmer down and talk about the real things, the war, the brutality of it, the slaughter of the innocents.
Right.
As a country here, we've lost the moral high ground. And, you know, we've changed the way we talk. We used to have, in World War II, we used to talk about civilian casualties and collateral damage. Civilian casualties are dead people,
mm-hmm.
non-combatants.
Right.
Killed by mistake. Collateral damage with bridges, infrastructure, things like that. We actually sanitize that whole thing, and we now classify slaughtered innocents as collateral damage. And people accept that and repeat it. That's the power of the propaganda, of manufacturing consent, of using pundits like Limbaugh and Fox News as propaganda networks to just brainwash the people, walk around repeating sound bites instead of analyzing content.
Absolutely. All right, sir, thanks very much for your insightful remarks.
Thank you.
And keep thinking. And, you know, we had a bunch of calls, and, okay, folks, here's how it works. Obviously, the phone company disconnects you after a little bit of time if you keep ringing. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be you could ring a phone for an entire weekend. But if you get disconnected, you get the fast busy or whatever, it doesn't mean we don't want to talk to you. It just means that it rang too long, and there's nothing we can do about that. You have to call back. We can't call you. So 631-632-9872. Caller brought up some excellent points. You know, one of the things that I've been hearing about, there's an NRA ad going out saying that Barack Obama wants to ban guns. It's an ad titled Hunter. It aired on September 22nd, yesterday. And the NRA asserts that Democratic presidential nominee Senator Barack Obama has voted to ban, common ammunition, and supports banning shotguns and rifles used by hunters. Yeah, now I learned that Barack Obama supports a huge new tax on my guns and ammo, the narrator of the ad says. If you can believe it, he also supports a ban on the shotguns and rifles most of us use for hunting. But if you look at the facts, and this came from CNN, on his campaign website, Obama says he respects the Second Amendment right to bear arms and will protect the rights of hunters and other law-abiding Americans to purchase, own, transport, and use guns. As CNN reported, Obama's running mate, Senator Joe Biden, told supporters at a Virginia rally on Saturday, September 20th, "I guarantee you Barack Obama ain't taking my shotguns, so don't buy that malarkey. They're going to start peddling that to you. I've got two, and if he tries to fool with my Beretta, he's got a problem." See, that's the kind of comment I'm talking about with Joe Biden. So basically, what CNN found here was that the whole thing is misleading. While Obama has supported some measures to limit gun rights, he has backed nothing on the scale suggested in the ad. And this is the kind of thing that you're going to see over and over again. And the question is, are people going to buy that? Are people actually going to believe what they're being fed? I just simply don't know for sure. All right, 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Greetings from Shirley.
Shirley, you know, everyone's phone sounds weird today. Are you on a cell phone, too?
Yeah, I'm on a BlackBerry.
Okay. Well, what's on your mind?
It pays for it, though, so hey.
All right, good enough.
I'm probably part of that knucklehead vote. I'm going to vote for Obama just to piss off all the overtly co-workers, all my overtly racist co-workers.
Now, tell us about those co-workers. What kinds of things did they say?
I don't know if I really want to incriminate myself that way.
Well, I mean, keep it clean, obviously, but maybe just that's the mentality. Like, what is it they're afraid of?
The mentality, it's fear. You know, usually they don't even really say, well, you hear a lot of, you know what's going to happen if he becomes president. You say, well, what is going to happen?
Yes, what is going to happen?
So just to upset them, I've been tinkering with the idea because honestly, I'm more of a conservative vote, but I'd really love to just piss some people off this year.
Well, yeah, of course, that's your right to do that with your vote as well. But hopefully you'll also be voting for the better qualified candidate and somebody who might actually steer us in a better direction. You know, I have to be honest, though, not a lot will probably change under either one of them. I think that a certain thing, the war is going to continue for a while probably, and the economic downturn isn't going to recover anytime soon. But just think of how our status in the rest of the world alone will change by having somebody who's articulate, who's familiar with other things going on, and who respects other leaders and can have a dialogue with them and isn't so isolationist. That alone, I think, will make a big difference.
That's true. There you go.
All right. Well, thanks for your call.
All right. Take care.
Bye. All right. Let's move on to another one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. I'm calling just to make a comment about the debates that you were talking about. I definitely agree with that. We don't have enough of those debates going on in this country right now.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, great. And you're on a cell phone, too, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I can tell. Everyone's on cell phones these days. And, you know, phone calls used to sound so much better. But regardless, okay, so you're in Detroit. Now, Michigan, which way is Michigan going to go? We don't know yet, do we?
I think Michigan we can call a swing state, but usually it favors Democrats.
Uh-huh. Well, yes, but in this case, remember, there's a black guy running, so all bets are off. People are going to panic and maybe vote for McCain just to prevent the unpredictable.
Yeah, for me, how I vote is I'm very clued into the debates. Like, I'm definitely going to be watching this Friday and any other time that I'm really wanting the debate between Obama and McCain themselves and not the running mate so much.
Right.
But what I do is I listen to that. I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican.
Right.
Listen to those debates, and I see, which one's making the most sense, and I kind of make a judgment at that point usually. But I'm really interested in those, and I wish they would just do more of them and get more in-depth on the issues and explain in a sober way their philosophical positions and political positions on a number of issues.
I just hope these debates aren't too staged. I hope that they're able to talk to each other and actually engage each other in conversation, because that's where you learn a lot about people.
Right. I think they really did Ron Paul an injustice, because a lot of times they would just shut him up or try to shut him up or intimidate him rather than letting him speak. That's the type of thing that I don't agree with. They should let everyone present their view.
Oh, I agree with that totally. I think Ron Paul, Ralph Nader, and Bob Barr, all these people should be a part of the debates. Now, granted, they don't have any chance of winning whatsoever, and I think that in this particular case, if it came down to, if you're in a swing state and it could go Barack Obama or McCain and you vote for Nader, that's probably not a wise thing to do, because then the vote could tip in the favor of McCain. I wouldn't have said that in 2000, but after seeing what can happen, in a swing state especially, you have to keep that in mind. But having them at the debate, that brings up more issues. That brings up more dialogue, more conversation, and then you can see how the candidates who actually do have a chance respond to that, and you learn something in that way.
Right. I did like some of the things that Ron Paul had to say, but I wouldn't support him for the main reason is I think his position is too much of a laissez-faire, due to, like a strict domination of the upper classes on the lower. If you had no government regulation, that's basically what he was toting there. I watched a talk of him on candidates at Google, and he gives a good hour talk about his position. And it just seems like it'd be going back to like the Gilded Age, like in New York, when you had these really, really big mansions, and then you'd walk down the street like two blocks, and then it'd be a bunch of like shacktown houses,
Right.
I think that's what that would lead to, because we already learned from history that laissez-faire, it doesn't work. So
actually,
I don't know why anyone would want to go back to
it. Isn't Detroit sort of like that now?
Yeah, as far as his position on the war and that this just shouldn't have happened in the first place and we need to get out and all that, you know, I agree with him on that. I just hope that Obama is actually going to do something and that he's just not all talk, because I think I do plan on voting for him, but I hope he really does something.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you have to understand this. A lot of people criticize Obama because he's not radical enough in some ways. He has to be careful, because if he says something that that the vast majority of people take offense to, that hurts him, even if it's something that he believes in. So he sort of has to tone it down a little bit for the greater good of actually getting elected. So in that sense, I sort of understand the compromise he made on the NSA spying thing. He still obviously had reservations about it, but in order to move ahead with a bill getting passed, I could see that being a compromise that he had to settle with.
I would really like to see all that stuff just go away. Like, Homeland Security is unnecessary. It's a big waste of money. The FBI and the CIA barely even communicate with each other. If they just take the infrastructure that we have right now and make it work rather than trying to build... See, this is like getting back at one thing. I can't remember who one of the talkers at the hacker convention. I went to that in New York. And one of them said that Americans just throw money at things, and they don't actually use their brain to solve the problems. If we take the FBI and the CIA and make them work, then it will be a lot better off. But instead, we have multi-million-dollar opening of new departments and all this stuff.
That sounds like Robert Steele. Was it Robert Steele?
It might have been Robert Steele. I went to a lot of talks. I can't remember them all, like, who said what now in my head. But
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because I've been going through the videos, because we have, like, 100 of them, and I'm just so amazed and impressed by the quality of the speakers that we had at the conference and just the things they were saying, like Jello Biafra's talk and Robert Steele and Steve Rombaum and so many other people too. We had over 100 talks. And yeah, it's great when people actually think and apply it to their lives and discuss it with other people. You reach some very interesting conclusions.
All right, well, I'm going to let you get on to another caller, and thanks a lot for hearing me. I really enjoy your show, and I look forward to more conferences and stuff in the future, so take it easy, Manuel.
All right, thanks so much for calling. That was a call from Michigan, swing state. And you know what? He said, let's go to other calls. There are no other calls. How about that? No other calls. Yeah, 631-632-9872. That's our phone number. So if you think that you don't count, well, this is proof that you do. This is proof right here. Think someone else is going to call? No, it's you. You're the one who has to call. It sounds like we're asking for money. No, we're not. Not yet. But but the fact is that we're kind of trained to believe that our opinion doesn't really matter. So we avoid talking about things like that. And we just resort to talking about sports and nonsensical things. Not that sports is nonsensical. I understand that if you listen to what people say, if you listen to some of the knowledge and statistics and theories people have, it really is very developed and intelligent. But if you apply that to things that actually matter insofar as deciding your fate, the fate of your economy, the fate of your livelihood, the fate of your life, in fact. When people start wars and send your kids off to it, that should matter. That should matter more than anything. And to me, it just seems so unforgivable that the people who did this are still walking around. Nothing's happened to them. You know, that's just unforgivable, let alone putting them back into power. And I think the only way we're doing that is because of fear, because we're afraid of the unknown. Well, you know what? I think it's high time for the unknown. Not that Barack Obama's that unknown. Anyway, 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey.
How you doing?
How you doing there, Off of the Wall?
Where are you calling from?
I just wanted to talk to Manuel.
Well, you're on the air right now. Can you tell us where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Port Jeff.
Port Jeff, right next door.
Yeah, we got it all figured out.
And what's that?
I mean, everybody's worried about the money. We pay for the Wall Street problem with Iraqi oil money.
Pretty well. I don't know how cynical you want to get, but there's probably a lot of connections there. The point is, it's not working. Whatever is happening right now, it's not working. It's not a good road to be going down. We need to try something else.
Just thought I'd remind people that there's a war going on out there that we still haven't paid for.
That's right.
And whatever president is going in right now, I personally hope it's the Democratic offering right now, but they're going to have a difficult time.
Oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough, for sure.
Well, keeping any of the, you know, their budgets as they had it set up to about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, listen, thanks for your call.
But on that, I just wanted to make one humorous little point there.
Yeah. Well, it's got us rolling in the aisles here. But thanks thanks for the insight.
Pull that a Rocky Oil.
All right. Take care. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. Hey, you're calling from a landline, aren't you?
No, this is actually Motorola Pebble using T-Mobile.
Really? Okay, well, you're the best-sounding phone call we've had today.
That's good.
All right. Not that we're plugging that product or anything like that, but you sound actually clear and crisp. So where are you calling from?
Right now, I am in East Islip.
East Islip. Okay, a lot of local calls today, which is good. So what's on your mind?
I agree with what you're saying, that the Democrat, you know, if Barack wins, there'll be a slight improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we can hope for, but I just wanted to express what a major change it would be if we just broke away from this Democratic and Republican, you know, same broken record every time.
Yes.
Democratic and Republican. If we just got an independent or a Green Party person in, that would be a major, major change.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, how do we do that? I mean, we don't do it through this election, that's for sure. That's not going to happen. But how do we start something like that? I think I can answer my own question. If you empower people and they can actually vote and make a difference, and you have people voting who have never voted before, then they feel like, hey, I can make a difference. I'm going to get involved on the local level now. And then before you know it, you have more candidates doing more things. You have different parties, different viewpoints, and maybe that can grow and become national. How's that?
That's true. I mean, it has to grow, you know, to some degree before it gets to a respectable level, because I've voted Green Party over the past, like, 10 years, and then I get frustrated because a tiny amount only gets, you know, the vote. And then, like, right now I'm at this election saying I don't think I'm going to vote because I don't like either. I dislike McCain more than Obama, but, you know, I don't think much is going to improve with Obama, but there'll be a slight improvement probably.
Well, it's just an improvement in mood. You have to just look at that. Maybe he won't bring a lot of changes, although I think he'll bring a significant number, but just the way people will feel seeing something like that, the happiness among people who have really not been happy before, and that's something right there, just that moment is worth voting for, I think.
That's true. I definitely agree with that. It's going to be one of the most interesting elections to watch.
Yeah, it's going to happen on a Tuesday, too, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully the Europeans will like us better, because I just came back from Italy a few months ago, and I didn't see outright hatred, but I, you know, they were still friendly, but they were more friendly when I was there in the 70s and in the mm-hmm. early 90s. But.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about, kowtowing to foreign countries and what they tell us to do or what they say. It's about just being a respected member of the world community, and we are not right now, and it's because of the actions of George W. Bush and his cronies. And wouldn't it be nice if that were no longer true, if we could actually be respected in the world like we should be?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't vote for Bush, and so it's not my fault.
All right. Well, good to know. Thanks for calling. And let's take another call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Southern Utah.
Oh, good. Utah. You guys are heavily in favor of John McCain.
Most of us.
Well, are you one of them?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you know, I'm a little disappointed because I've yet to talk to anybody on this radio show who supports John McCain. I've tried, but maybe they just don't listen. But, yeah, you know, not to sound hopeless or anything like that, but there's not a whole lot you can do over there, I don't think, to sway all those people. But what's it like?
It's kind of weird. I moved from California.
Uh-huh.
It's different. You know, I talk to people, and they just have a different mindset, I guess.
Yeah.
They have different values, but they're not insane or anything, like I always used to think when I was in California and I didn't know any Republicans.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, they definitely are not insane, and that's sort of what scares me, because they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're good at this, and I don't know why the Democrats haven't learned from their mistakes, but they seem to make the same mistakes over and over again. And I got to tell you, you know, you will never have an easier election to win than this one, and I cannot for the life of me figure out, other than the race issue, why Barack Obama is not so far ahead as to make it almost laughable.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that it could go either way, but...
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I have to be cautiously optimistic, but very, very guarded as well. And I just hope that people wake up and start doing something, because that's what's going to make the difference. It's the activism on the state levels that will decide this thing in the end.
Right. I was calling to ask you about something you said earlier in the show.
Yes.
That you know, there's no point if you're in a swing state of voting for a third party. So do you think it's ever useful? I mean,
I think it's useful when it makes it when there's actually a chance of the person winning. But if you by voting for a third party candidate in a swing state, if that could potentially result in the vote going towards the candidate you want least of all, then you're sort of defeating your own purpose, I think, because you're not going to get your candidate to win. And the candidate that you would consider to be second best or third best or whatever is also not going to win as a result of that. And then the person you want least of all is victorious. I mean, it's not the fault of the voter. It's the fault of the system. It's designed in a really bizarre way. But I think we have to take tiny steps to fix that system. And that means going locally and rebuilding it from the bottom up.
So is there ever a reason to vote independent on a national level?
Oh, of course. Like, for instance, if you're in, Utah, for instance, yes. I mean, your vote probably isn't going to make that much of a difference if you vote for Barack Obama, because it's I think a 2-to-1 margin against him in that state. So yeah, by all means, your vote for an independent candidate would not hurt the candidate you consider to be better than the worst one.
Well, so what's the point of voting for a third party, like you said? Voting for a Democrat is not going to make a difference. Voting for a third party is going to make even less of a difference.
Well, I think first of all, the Democrat has a good chance of winning. And second of all, I do think there will be a difference, not a huge difference, but a difference all the same. And what I was speaking to before, the empowerment of the people that actually feel like their voices are being heard, that's got to be a good thing. Anyway, listen, unfortunately, we're out of time. This is a great question, though. So maybe call back next week. We can discuss it more.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for that call. And we're out of time. Don't I sound a lot better when I'm not in delay? All right. Well, we're out of time. OTW@2600.com is our email address. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have a good night.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon for the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be saved from Satan. The devil way down in the devil.
down in the hole right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Jack Kerouac is dedicating this number to lovely, beautiful, skinny, shapely Sue Evans with the beautiful box. In the evening, ain't we got fun? Sweet little baby, ain't we got fun? Don't you know, everybody's happy. Everybody's going into the island. Oh, somebody knows it.